Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Kelly Gissendehner was convicted of orchestrating the murder of her husband in 1997, and she lived on death row for 18 years. While on death row, Kelly enrolled in and completed a theology studies program that was run by nearby divinity schools. She converted to Christianity and began ministering to other women in the prison. She could be heard at night talking through the heating vents, praying with the other inmates, even calming others who were considering suicide. A petition for her stated, while incarcerated, she has been a pastoral presence to many, teaching, preaching, and living a life of purpose. Many spoke on Kelly's behalf in an attempt to spare her life, including an archbishop on behalf of Pope Francis, correctional officers, theology students, and the former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Georgia. Clemency was denied, and Kelly was executed by the state of Georgia on September 30th, 2015, while singing Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. During the stays of execution for Kelly, time and again, her conversion to Christianity was questioned. Did she play the conversion to Christianity card merely to get off death row, like so many had before her? Or can God truly reach deep into the heart of a murderer and develop a relationship with her? Did God claim her, sinner as she was, as one of God's own? She testified over and over and over and over to what God had done in her life. She testified and lived out her faith by sharing that faith with others. But few believed what God had done in her life. God entering into the life of a convicted murderer was just a step too far for many to believe. Do we put limits on what God can do? The blind man today, he received a miracle he did not ask for. Jesus sought him out, covered his eyes with mud. He washed and he could see. Blind since birth, he was given the gift of sight. Over and over, four times, he told the Jews and the Pharisees what had happened. He repeated over and over in the simplest of testimonies. This young man said it just like it was. He said, I don't know what happened. I don't know how Jesus did it. But I can see now. Although the blind man could now physically see, the blind man also could see who Jesus was. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Alan and I were members of a small group which met every other Friday for over 5 years. At our small group meeting one night, one of the men said that while he was out walking his dog, he saw Jesus sitting down by a creek in his neighborhood. It was a life-changing moment for him, a transformational event. And he told our small group because he thought that we were a safe place to share his story. Our small group of Christians, 10 of us, many who had known each other for decades, became his safe place that night, a space where he could tell the story and explore what seeing Jesus meant for him in his life. But despite our long-term relationships, it took a lot for him to get that story out. He was afraid that we would think he was nuts. He's never told that story again beyond the small group. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. A chief cardiologist I know in one of the major Atlanta hospitals asked me one day if I had a few minutes to spend with him. He had heard me preach on the intersection of faith and life, and he wanted to share with me some stories. We sat down and he shared story after story after story about how God had appeared in the life and the death moments that he encountered in working with the sickest of the heart patients. These encounters with God made him so very confident of God's presence in our lives. Yet he had only shared the stories with his wife and now me. No one else heard the testimony to God's work. This man was afraid that people would think he was nuts. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. During my interview with the Faith Lutheran Council here, I was asked a very insightful question. I was asked if I believed in miracles. And I'll be honest, I had a moment of hesitation as I wondered how to answer this. But I took a leap of faith and I told the council that, yes, I do believe in miracles. And I shared a personal miracle story, one which changed my understanding of the importance of communicating with those who can't communicate with us. But what if I had told a different kind of miracle story, one with a burning bush or two for good measure? Maybe even a dramatic healing. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Some Christians, and yes, even Lutherans, pride ourselves on the fact that we do very few testimonials. We find it hard to tell the stories of how we see Jesus in our life, or how Jesus works in our life each day. We find it hard to tell others how we see Jesus or where Jesus is for us. And I'm not talking about the big stories, but even the little ones, the hawk that flies over that reminds us of someone who died, the time that the song came on the radio or we received the text at just the right moment, the moment that the tears came from nowhere. We hesitate and worry that it wasn't God, but maybe a coincidence. Or we worry that people will think we're nuts. And these are not just needless worries. There were consequences for the blind man in telling his story. He was not recognized by his neighbors anymore. People he had lived amongst all his life didn't even know who he was. His neighbors and those in the synagogue didn't believe him. They called his parents to check out his story. And his parents wouldn't defend him because they were afraid of the Jews. He was put on trial to defend his experience with Jesus. The Pharisees reviled him, and reviled is an incredibly strong word in John. It's a serious insult. And finally, the Pharisees drove him out of his family, his synagogue, and his community. But Jesus embraced him, opened his eyes, and knew him. The Pharisees, although good and very faithful people, simply couldn't believe what the blind man was telling them. Even though the blind man testified over and over and over again and said the same thing in each testimony, the story that he told just couldn't be true. Jesus didn't work like that. The Pharisees put Jesus into a box, what he could and couldn't do. And this miracle of the blind man just didn't fit into their box. The Pharisees claimed that Jesus wasn't really from God. The Pharisees knew that if someone was from God, they would observe the Sabbath, right? But Jesus kneaded the mud on the Sabbath, and that's work. So if you work on the Sabbath, then it's a sin. So Jesus is a sinner and can't possibly be from God, right? Since the Pharisees can't confirm where Jesus comes from, he couldn't have performed a miracle. And you know, this miracle thing, the giving of sight to a blind man, it hasn't ever happened before. And since it hasn't happened before, it can't be real. So the Pharisees drove the blind man out. Do we ever do this? Do we ever put God into a box and define what God can and cannot do? Can God appear beside a creek? Or is my friend just a wee bit wacko? Can God appear in the patients treated by a heart surgeon over and over and over and over again? Can God enter the life of a murderer on death row and call her to be a disciple for others? Or is that just a little too far? I suspect I'm not alone in my struggle with this. I try to explain God, but my human words can't come close to describing the immensity of God. I try and understand God, but my human understanding has enough trouble grasping why the lights turn on or how a plane can fly in the sky. How can I possibly come close to understanding the God who is beyond all human understanding? And the result is that I try any way that I can to put God in my little box, just the right size for me to understand. But by doing this, I have limited God. I have taken the power and the majesty and the glory of God and brought it down to my terms and my own level. And I don't let God be God. No one can ever limit or underestimate the power of God. So what if we shared with each other our experiences with God and listened to the experiences that others have in their relationship with God? What if we shared all the glorious and wonderful ways that we do see God in our lives? If this were a class, I would ask you to turn to your neighbors and form a small group, and I'd then ask you to talk with each other about where you have seen God or where you have experienced God. But since doing that now would break our understanding of good Lutheran worship, I will instead challenge each of us this week to share with another where we have seen God and how God has opened our eyes. Share the experience with someone that you love and trust and respect. And remember, we don't have to explain the encounter. We don't have to know how God opened the heart of a murderer, or made a blind man see, or how God ended up beside a stream in my friend's neighborhood. We just need to know that God was there. We must let God be God. So practice telling your story and then listen to another's encounter with God and how their eyes were opened. And then listen again without limiting the power of God or doubting the power of God, but let God be God. The blind man, Kelly Gissendaner, my friend by the creek, the heart surgeon, me, all of us. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.